312-981-7200, our phone number here on extension 720 on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 10 o'clock. And in this hour, it's time for our resident philosopher, Al Genie. Al Genie is a professor of ethics, business ethics at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University of Chicago. He joins us every month here on the program. He has become a resident philosopher to talk about the big picture, to also talk about the big ticket items in our society. We've talked about leadership. We've talked about virtue. We've talked about the seven deadly sins. We've gone down the we have really tackled all the things that make us tick as human beings. And the one thing we haven't talked about, lying. And tonight we talk about the truth and we talk about the lie. Professor Genie, good to see you, buddy.
I'm always glad to see you. It's been a while, but I'm glad we're back together again. And let's make a disclaimer. Let's start off right away.
We start with disclaimers.
Absolutely, disclaimer. This is not for my wife's purposes, you know, her lawyer, et cetera, et cetera. But whether you're a supporter or a critic of Mr. Trump, and who has an undeniably Mr. Trump confuses fact with fiction and opinion and objectivity and truth and non-truth. We're not talking about Mr. Trump, even though he has this tendency.
The impeachment hearings are tomorrow.
If there's a question of lying, Democrats do it as well as Republicans, and they extend the truth, et cetera, et cetera. So what we're really trying to talk about here is achieving some understanding of the nature of lying and what it does to us as individuals in a society and what it gives us and takes away from us. And it does give us a lot. That's why it's such an interesting phenomenon in our lives.
Yeah, we'll get to it. 312-981-7200. And I have to say, you know, whether it's your Democrats or Republicans, I mean, the concept of being a politician is to do the best you can to stretch the truth. It's almost like lying is an art form.
It is an art
form when it comes to politics. Politicians.
I mean, lawyers have it down to an exact science. To quote Mr. Clinton, it depends what you mean by the word is. And, you know, it changes everything and colors of things. But I think when we're talking about lying, we mean something much more commonsensical. Then we can get into the political aspect. To tell a lie, to tell a falsehood, to falsify, to fib is to intentionally create the wrong impression or to misrepresent a series of facts. Or to remain silent or misinform. To be a liar means you intentionally and knowingly do not tell the truth about ourselves, about facts, and about situations. That is, we give a different picture of what's in front of people.
Now, that might be nefarious, to cover up things. That also might be to embellish, to make it seem like we're bigger than we are, things like that, right?
And there's actually a reason for lying. And one of the major reasons for lying, of course, is to deny the truth. But, you know, denial isn't always a bad thing. Denial is not just a river in Egypt, as my uncle used to always tell me, and I always love that line. Isn't that a great line? Denial is a very helpful thing in our lives. I've got cancer, and so I want to deny the fact that perhaps my life options are limited now, and I want to deny the fact that my child has not contacted me for months. I want to deny the fact that my marriage is falling apart. None of those things are true, ladies and gentlemen. I'm lying about them personally. But I think denial is a way to hold things at bay. I mean, it's impossible to deal with all of reality. So denial can have a positive sense. What we're talking about here is denying the truth when somebody asks you, do you have my pen? And you say, no, I don't, and you've just picked it up and put it in your pocket. So we're talking about a different kind of denial. I think we lie also to expand the truth. The tall tale, the yarn. People tell stories all the time. And I think that we confuse, and there's two kinds of lying here. I think when we just tell a lie, no, I didn't do this, or yes, I did do this, it's different than telling a joke or telling a story. Because that's clearly not necessarily true. And it is. You're trying to create a metaphor, trying to create an analogy, et cetera, et cetera. But I think very often people simply expand the truth because they want to make more of themselves. They want to embellish themselves. I think people lie to claim something that is not, to say, I did that, or I didn't do that, or I was there, or I wasn't there, or I met him once, or I have this amount of money, et cetera, et cetera. And then lying also hides the truth. And to avoid, you know, rather than, we want to hide something. We want to suggest something else is there. Basically, it distorts the truth. And in effect, when you lie to a person, you distort that reality. You're changing the facts of the game. And that really becomes critical.
Yeah. Now, okay, I want to pick up on that because one of the words that keeps getting thrown around is truth.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've we really got to an apex point here when it comes to politics and in a country about what truth is.
Yes.
There's one set of truths for one person and there's another set of truths for another. That it once seemed like, and maybe it hasn't, but it once seemed like truth was truth and everything came around it. Now there's arguments and debates and
interpretations
of what the truth actually is.
Right. And I think that if we look at the impeachment case right now, it all revolves around the Latin term sine qua non, quid pro quo, and I don't want to get lost in that, but I think what we're talking about in truth is fair representation of the objective world. It's not always totally accurate, but it's a fair, it's agreed upon.
So fair. Is
and
word.
I think, for example, the great physics example is there is no such thing as color. A color is a function of light and how our eyeballs perceive it. Mm-hmm. But we all kind of agree what red is. We all kind of agree what blue is.
Yeah,
and then there are vagaries of
those.
Yeah,
of course. But, I don't want to bring up the trivial, but I mean, you think about what happened on the internet a couple of years ago when they showed a dress and half the people thought it was one color and half the people saw it as a different color.
Right.
And that kind of gets back to the idea that not everything looks the same, feels the same. And we talk about fair and a fair understanding of what's the objective.
Right.
World we live in, again, it gets gray.
And when we're talking about truth here, we're not talking about ultimate truth. Do I have insight into the structure of the cosmos? Or do I understand life after death? Is there such a thing as life after death? I'm talking about, can we agree on these facts? Can we agree that rat poisoning is dangerous? Only give it to rats. To kill them, please do not ingest. Can we agree that if I do the following, this may upset the people I love and they will be out of sorts? We're talking about facts here, not scientific facts, but things we agree on in kind of a common sense lived world. And lies distort that. In fact, to go all the way to the end of this argument, lies destroy our ability to make serious decisions about the given world in front of us. So if you lied to me and said, yes, I did in fact do X, and I act on the fact you did X, and I wind up making a terrible mistake, you've discredited me, but also kept me from an objective analysis.
It's also a house of cards, right?
There
is no center, there is no truth.
Right.
Professor Al Jeany is my guest here, our resident philosopher. He's with us every month here on Extension 720, talking about the big ticket items in the world we live, and we're talking about the truth, and of course the lie, the nature of lying tonight. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take our first break. We'll come back and get into some of the different, because I want to talk about purpose.
Yeah.
Because there's a big difference between sort of function and purpose, right? The idea of the white lie versus the ultimate lie
and why we lie.
Yes. Professor Al Jeany in studio here. Stay with us. Justin Kaufman here, Extension 720, rolling along, 312-981-7200. A texter, 773, said, Kendrick Lamar, the hip-hop star of the time, he said, his line, it's a new U2 album. And he said, blessed are the liars because the truth can be awkward.
Yeah, well, we could say the same thing about
great.
Art.
Yeah.
Nietzsche said, and again, not a funny guy in any way, shape, or form, says we develop art, we develop humor because reality is so difficult to deal with.
Right.
Without it, we would go nuts. And lying as an art form is what art sometimes is about. We create fiction. It's called fiction.
Right.
But fiction only has gravitas, only has meaning when there's connections to the real life. You can make an analogy. Oh, that's not a real story going on right now. But it's talking about real themes in life.
Well, you know, like for me and you, I'm going to put this out there. You know, you come in the studio and I say, Professor, good to see you. How you been? You go, I'm doing great. Maybe you're not doing great. Maybe, you know, whatever's happening to you.
But those, are the salutations.
Okay, the little white lies.
Here's the dullest thing that's ever happened. Justin, how you doing? You say, man, miserable. I didn't sleep last night. The wife and I had one of those again.
Yeah,
I'm a little hungover. Right. Yeah, but and I'm thinking, well, that's the last time I'm asking him how he is.
But there, I mean, in a way, social norms. We've decided lying is okay in certain.
That's right. In fact, one stiff upper lip, old boy. I'm fine, thank you. Good to see you. Now, one of mine, we've been teasing me. One of mine is, how you doing? Says, at my age, I'm glad I'm doing anything. You know, but it's a shtick. The reality is, I'm not going to say to tell you the truth. I'm not going to give you an organ recital. The back is killing me. The apple hurts, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that there are these kind of cosmetic non-truths we tell. But it's not to lie. It's to just facilitate social interchange, et cetera, et cetera. So the quote that you gave me, that's lying to facilitate the difficulties of life.
Right.
But there's danger in that when you get lost in that. One of the things I really don't like about the fantasy films, all the fantasy films, is the kids get lost in that. And somewhere along
the line... You mean like Star Wars or Avengers?
No,
or
way past Star Wars. Past, I mean, yeah. But for a while, Star Wars was a big, you know, was a big deal. And my son is still totally addicted.
Or Harry Potter, things
Yeah.
Right,
and
right.
The reason that the church hated it, the Catholic Church hated Harry Potter, because they were talking about powers that people shouldn't have and spiritualism that wasn't true. But I worry about people getting lost in some of these sagas and forgetting what reality really is. There's got to be a balance. Certainly, there's a history, in literary history, in every tradition of demons and goblins and so on and so forth. But often goblins... and demons and evil are a way to explain reality because you have no other explanation for it.
Al, why do we lie? What is it? I mean, is there a scientific method
we
lie?
I think there are real reasons why we lie. Some of them are very basic. First of all, we very often lie to cover up the truth that we don't want to admit. Mm. You know, I'm fine. How's the wife? Oh, God, she's just great. Now, if my wife
you
is
keep coming back to that.
Yeah, my wife is listening. Of course, you're great. I love you, darling. Et cetera,
we can
et cetera.
Read between the lines.
But
okay.
You know what I mean.
Right.
And
I know what you
say to cover up a truth. You, how are the kids doing? Great. I mean, they're in school. This is, you know, I want to mention this is their ninth year as a sophomore. More, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You see, you cover up something, and then we lie to make something more than it really is, to embellish it. You know, how was the weekend? Oh, fantastic. We did the meal was great. Everything was perfect because you're embarrassed because it was an expensive weekend and it was kind of so-so, but you need to extend it. We lie to embellish ourselves in some way.
You know, Al, it's interesting because I think about the tenets in which social media are built, and whether this be Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, almost the concepts that you're talking about here, those are why those sites exist.
Yes.
They want to put a picture up, and I want to show you with my awesome sandwich, and I want to say I'm eating such a great sandwich, and I'm so happy because I'm eating this sandwich. I'm not. Maybe it's not my sandwich. Maybe I'm not happy. But the point being that it almost feels like these social media platforms are built on lies. They're built on this idea that it you know what? You can perpetuate. You can build something that's not necessarily you. You can embellish who you are. You do all these things, and we want more, and we want more, and we want more. So my question is, it almost feels like there's a business to lying or trying to embellish.
There's a business to self-embellishment. There is a de rigueur. I made every football team in grammar school, high school, and college. I only started 3 games in all 3 of those experiences. But the longer I'm away from that, you know, I almost had the Heisman Trophy. The longer I'm away from that, you know how many touchdowns I scored in 1 game? 7.
Right.
Why? Everyone's dead who played with me. Who's gonna correct me, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the social platforms don't start off as lies. They start off as curiosity. They start off as reaching out. They start off, why are you doing that? Because I can. That's also a part of it. And then the embellishments occur. So how interesting is that, et cetera, et cetera. I wouldn't say that's lying. That's unnecessary embellishment. I did this yesterday at school. I got on an elevator. There were 10 other students on the elevator. They all had their phones out. And I yelled in a loud voice, you know, there was a time when people lived without those.
Oh,
they
God.
Looked at me
yeah,
as if
I'd be the same way if I'm the elevator. The old man in the back's you know, in my day, I'd be like, all right.
But the point is, why aren't you talking to each other? Why aren't you talking to each other?
Well,
but that's a different issue. I don't think the social media is about lying. It becomes lying when it becomes a game. Yes, and there are a lot of these very dangerous games that people are playing on social media. But I think that lying is about telling a non-truth to somehow augment oneself to make oneself.
What
more
role does fear play? Because that's a part I think that you know a lot of lies have to be born of fear.
Well, I think it is fear. I think the basic reason why we lie, I mean, pathological liars or regular liars, they don't always have to be pathological, meaning that they can't ever tell the truth. Because fear that one may not be enough, one may not be accepted, fear that one is not enough, fear that one is not as interesting. And I think we tell lies to distort and embellish embellish the truth to make us more, to make us have more gravitas, more interest in somebody else. And it happens to all of us in a social setting. We're mm-hmm. around with our buddies mm-hmm. and having a drink or two, and suddenly mm-hmm. that wonderful little story you had about catching the fish, it went from a perch to Moby Dick
right.
in 15 minutes,
right.
you know? And I think we do that because it makes life more interesting, it makes us more interesting, and it makes us, in some sense, more vital. I yeah. think we want to live in a vital, interesting way, and life doesn't always work out
yeah,
that
way. Yeah, I was going to say, maybe there's more nefarious reasoning here because, you know, obviously as we talk about the world, the nature of lying,
yeah.
we've talked a lot about embellishment.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about, you know, why we do it and, you know, we want to make things bigger or people like us or whatever it might be. But there's the part that's the cover up, and we see this in business or we see this in politics
yeah.
where they're lying to save their butt
oh,
or
yeah.
they're lying to cover up the fact that they did something
that's right.
wrong.
That's right.
I mean, that's I think, the lie that... that everyone, when you hear the word lying, you have the negative connotation
right.
to it. It's because of that.
And as a professor of business ethics, a student of business ethics, the classic case of that, of course, is Tylenol. Within 12 blocks of this studio right now, three different people died going into the same same drugstore, I think it was a Walgreens, to buy a Tylenol, and it was poisoned by a Mr. Lewis. We pretty much sure think it was Mr. Lewis, although he's never been convicted. And so seven people in the greater Chicago area died from poison put into the Tylenol. Capsules
yeah, right.
at the time, all right? And the president of Tylenol at the time did this outrageous thing. He told the truth. He said, we had nothing to do with this. We're taking this all off the shelves. We're going to do all these testing.
We're going to figure
There's
it out.
There's no testing in the machines. We are now going to figure this out. We're not in denial in any way, shape, or form. We're going to pursue this to the end. He showed up just as if there's an airplane crash. Terrible thing. They show up at your door if your spouse dies, and they say, what can we do for you? Here's a lawyer. Here's an accountant. What can we do for you? What do you need? Here's a psychologist. He did exactly that at the time. Mr. Burke did this time. And he broke all the rules. He told the truth. He didn't try to cover up anything at all, and they thought he was lying. And he had a fight to make that
because
that,
we're just not used to it. We're not used to somebody.
Not
doing
used
that.
To somebody telling the truth. You know the great sadness of that story, though. Three people died in the same household. A gentleman came home from work, and he had a headache, and he took two of the Tylenols and died at the kitchen table in a matter of seconds. The family all came over. This terrible. They had to take the body away, and the sister and her husband, a terrible headache. They picked up the Tylenol and took the Tylenol and died.
That's terrible.
Wow.
I'm bringing us down.
I'm sorry about that. But of course, that's the case you may want to lie. You say, we didn't do that. He never said that because it could have been a possibility that somebody sabotaged it within the company.
Right.
And he wanted to find that out. He said, our business is about serving people, not serving ourselves. What a concept. Telling the truth when the truth is required.
And when we come back, I want to take a break here and get to Don's news tonight. But I want to talk about, you know, just as we move forward in trying to understand why we lie and the nature of lying. I guess, you know, the different kinds, because we haven't talked about spontaneous lying, habitual, humane, I would say not self-serving, but serving lies where you're lying to protect somebody and things like that. So there are ways that lying, even though it's such a negative word in our society, it can be used for good. So
It can be used as a protection.
Yeah. Professor Al Genie, our resident philosopher, is here tonight talking about the nature of lying. We'll take our break here and get to Don's news here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Thank you, Don. 312-981-7200 is our phone number if you'd like to get in the conversation about the nature of lying. That's what we're doing tonight. Professor Al Genie is with me. He is a professor of business ethics at Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University of Chicago. He's our resident philosopher, joins us once a month here on Extension 720 to talk about the big picture. Talk about the big ticket items in our society, whether it be virtue, whether it be sins, whether it be leadership, and tonight, lying. You are going to give us a reason why lying is bad. I am going to defend lying.
You're going to defend lying.
Just because devil's advocate, for good radio,
absolutely.
Right? For good radio.
Well, I want to come down to why do people do it? Do they distort and embellish reality, that they say something that's not true? I still think it's about a lack of self-esteem. And I think the fear is a byproduct of a person's lack of true worth. And so, telling a lie, being a good old boy, is respected in our society. And it's a sine qua non condition, to use too many Latin phrases tonight, for personal self-acceptance and self-esteem. So a lie seems a small price.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, so I tell a little fib. So I embellish the fact of this weekend. So I add a couple details that make it much juicier, et cetera, et cetera. You know, But everybody likes me. Everybody laughed.
That's,
it's
the,
okay.
That's like the spontaneous line, yeah, right? That's like the
right. So I think
BS
people think of
like
the
that.
Spontaneous line brought on by BS sessions, as I said. You're telling a story, it's, again, that fish goes from a guppy to Moby Dick because it works. But planned line is consciously done to achieve some effect for personal or professional reasons.
Okay, and that might be what you're talking about with politicians. They're lying for the gain of something.
Right, or I've had this experience when you haven't had this experience, or I've done this when you haven't done that, right. Or you embellish a story about traveling, and yes, of course you've been to Sri Lanka, hasn't everyone, because everyone's talking about that thing. So I think that kind of plan line is a way to prop up our sense of who we are to others. And here's the danger, though. Liars who are lying and know they are lying may feel some guilt about it, but they do it. The danger is when you forget that you're lying.
Well,
and then you create another persona who's not, and you're not in control of.
Okay, so when we get to this isn't about politics, and not specifically about the president or any campaign or candidates.
But you can see the danger
of
politics.
See it, yeah.
When they can't agree on basic things, nothing gets done.
That's what I want to get to, is that you'll see that it almost becomes habitual in the way that every time they get up there, they're stretching the truth. And I guess the question is, is that done, like you said, is that going to be planned lying where they know they're doing it?
Yeah.
Or is it more of they know the art of politics and they know that maybe they know a little bit about the topic and what they want to relate to their voters, but they're not necessarily planned lying?
I think it's habitual. I think that I think being a politician requires you to be to manipulate language. Manipulating language isn't always a bad thing. To present language in a certain way to have a certain effect. And I do think what happens is certain professions engender the expansion of truth, engender the negation of truth, engender lying because it becomes easier. And here's the real danger. When you forget that you're lying, you wind up defending things that aren't true and you don't recognize it anymore. You wind up defending the story you've told, even if the story you told isn't true.
Yeah, right.
And you see this.
That's politics 101. And
that becomes a really dangerous thing.
Okay, so I will ask this as well, because we have seen, I think, more often than not, we are seeing the word lie or liar or lying thrown around. When it isn't necessarily lying, it might be cherry-picking the truth.
Yeah.
Or you see this in news, and this has been where politicians say
they don't tell the whole thing.
Yeah, or this broadcast network is lying. They're lying about the news, where they just don't agree with the interpretation.
Yeah.
Is that a danger as well, that we're in misunderstanding what lying is?
As someone who spent his life trying to make arguments, interpretations have to be connected to something, and there has to be some logical argumentation to say, therefore it follows from this, one can say. The reality is very often you don't put in the extra piece, and so you diminish the argument or you create a lie by not putting all the facts in,
right.
Or your interpretation is so far out that it's distorted. And now the question is, are you doing that on purpose or not?
Right.
And I think very often there are professions where lying becomes habitual and planned, that you expect that. And then there's a desperation part to it. I mean, you don't know what to do. You can't totally admit it. And because that would be wrong in the society to say, I'm wrong here. I did this, you know.
Right.
But in point of fact, when you're lying like that, you're not only deceiving yourself, you're deceiving others. And here's the classic case. If your oncologist says, don't worry, you're fine, and he knows you're dying, he has stripped you of the ability to make decisions, to accept what you have, to seek other advice, to do radical procedures that may alter this, or to make up your own mind about the situation. When you lie, you decrease a person's realistic options about making personal decisions. You deny them full information. That's what lying is about. You're denying them or creating false information, which leads people to make decisions that are inappropriate and improper.
Okay, so and when you were just going over the category, malicious lying seems to be the one that everybody, when you talk about, when you say that word, that's what people are thinking.
Yeah,
about. Malicious lying.
It's a hurt somebody else. When you call somebody call somebody a liar. That's
right,
malicious
right,
kind
right,
of lying.
Right.
I call somebody the unacceptable word for prostitution, for a prostitute, et cetera, et cetera. That's demeaning somebody. So I think malicious lying is very, very harmful and hurtful. To me, what's dangerous about malicious lying is, do you stop with colleagues? You stop with equals, or does that happen to children as well? When do you do that? There's a time when I think there is humane lying, the white lie. Do you tell?
Well, or like when you're dealing with kids.
Yeah,
dealing with
kids.
Hey.
Dealing with your grandmother, right, who's 96 years old. How you doing? You look wonderful today, Grandma. I'm so good. No, I'm so glad to see you. I'm fine. You're fine. You don't tell them everything because they can't handle it. Now, there is a paternal argument here. Who's to decide they can't handle it? We're talking about common sense judgments right now. But I think there are kinds of humane lying. It's still a lie. I'm not trying to say that. But it's different than habitual lying. The person who just has no sense of... There are people in both of our lives, and we can probably picture them as we're saying this right now, that we don't believe at all. That we just... You know, there are like people in our lives, we know that if we went to them with a bag and it's full of important information, say, listen, I need you to hang on to this bag. I need you not to look at this bag. I may have to call on you later to get this bag. Just hold this bag for me. There's someone in your life you know you would go to, and you would go to him 10 years later and say, you got the bag? And says, yeah, I know where it is. I got it. And he gives you the bag, and it's not been touched.
Right.
And there are people you know you would never, ever, you know.
That's not even the same bag.
That's not the same bag. Or you would never say, hang on to this $5, I'll be back for it. So I think the same thing with liars. People then understand that. And we all have friends. I mean, in my group of guys, we've been playing handball together for over 50 years. You know, I'm the joker. Well, yeah, okay. And they know the difference between my joke and the non-story. But every once in a while, I get one in when they don't realize it's a joke setup. And it's the best. But that's using lie to be funny, and that's a different kind of lying.
Hal Gini, my guest here. All right, so let's get into the wrap here,
yeah,
and talk about the reasons against lying. This is really the crux of the whole conversation.
Yeah, I think
what's your reason?
I think
it
does a couple things. First of all, it distorts reality, and it changes reality, and it doesn't give us a hold on reality. So, what do you mean by by that? What do you mean by the word is? I mean, what a stupid thing. And he got away with it for so long. And it was really an argument he presented to the American public. I thought, what arrogance. What legal arrogance to do that. But when you lie, you strip people of the opportunity to make serious decisions. At the beginning of AIDS, the requirement was ask and don't and then verify. Do not. And I lived as a single person through that period. That was... No fooling around there. I mean, you better be telling the truth. Otherwise, a lot of people are in trouble. So I think that lying, strips us of options and strips us of our sense of integrity. And I think it when you lie after a while, people don't believe you.
Yeah.
And there's no way back from that. There's simply no way back. It's, you know, and people don't forgive you because it's beyond the pale. When you lie about yourself and people recognize that, they no longer trust you. You've lost that element of trust. The other thing is, you know, just basically, as Mark Twain says, when you lie too much, you simply can't remember who you told what to. Mm. And it changes everything, you know? It's like me telling jokes. I don't remember. Did I tell you that one already? Oh, damn. You know, I want to say that again. But to not be honest with yourself and others is critical because it eradicates their ability to make decisions about you. Can I depend on you?
Yeah.
Are you someone I could trust? Are you someone I believe in? Or are you just this group of facts you've put together that you want me to believe?
Yeah. Well, that's Facebook. That's social media. The my question is, can you live a life without lying?
No. Because you can't tell your son, Daddy, mom and dad are divorcing because we really hate each other and we find it despicable that we live together you are the only reason we're together and that was a mistake. You're not working out either. You don't. You just don't. That's wrong. You don't, you know, someone is dying. Tell me I lived, I remember my grandmother's, Alfredo, dicami. What, did I live a good life? Yes, Pa, you did. And he did. I wasn't lying. But I would have lied to him at that moment. There are times when alcohol is a bonum delectibile, something that's good in itself, and there are times when alcohol is a very dangerous thing. The same thing with truth and lying.
Yeah. Professor Hal Gini, our resident philosopher here on Extension 720, talking about the nature of lying tonight on the program. Professor of Business Ethics at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University of Chicago, an author, and has written essays and continues to be I would say a go-to guy for all of our ethical concerns.
So you really like my book.
So I really like your book. That's right. I loved it. Four stars. Right?
Four stars. And you've read it three times. Yes.
That's right, buddy.
That's what friends do. They lie.
Thank you, Professor. Good to see you. And we'll see you next month.
See ya.